We talk about what we want to do. But you can see when God is looking at us, He's seeing what we do. I have a lot of desires in my heart. But if those desires just stay in my heart, then those desires are selfish desires. I have no needs, period. I have no needs. I have wants. But God has taken care of all my needs. Yours too. God said, I'll take care of you. And then I listen to folks who will talk about, I don't have an enemy in the world. No, everybody loves me. Everybody likes me. You haven't been out much, have you? You see, your Christian convictions are proven by how the world reacts to you. Now, if they react to you the way they react to Jesus, then you must be living your Christian conviction. Because if you are Christ-like, you will receive the criticism Christ received. Everything they did to Jesus, they will want to do to you. But you have a power the world does not understand. You have a power and a strength within you that you don't understand. And you never shall on planet Earth. Jesus didn't tell you you needed to understand. He told each of us, trust me. Trust me. I got this. I got you. A lot of hurt, Lord. Where does it all come from? This love that you have for me. For I have caused so much hurt in my own life, pain to others, and yet you love me. Where does it come from? Well, Larry, it comes from my Father. As a matter of fact, He loves you. Our children are going out into this world. They're going out into the world either with their eyes open or half blind. You and I teach our children to trust. We do that. You have to trust. And then we watch our children get hurt because they trusted. You and I teach our children, be kind to folks. And then when they're kind to certain folks, those folks take advantage of them. We are in a world that you and I do not understand. There are rules in this world that are unwritten, that are vile and vicious to the human race. Man's inhumanity to man. If you've ever been in combat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You became someone there that you never dreamed that you would be. And then we live out the remainder of our life with the nightmares and the dreams. But Jesus, you see, Jesus came for one purpose. That purpose was to die. And He knew every name He was dying for. He knew every situation associated with each name. He knew every heartbreak. He knew every stumble, every pothole in your life, down life's road. He knew exactly how many times He would have to dive down in the ditch of life to pull you out. Because He knew my name before time began. And He says, now, I'm going to be convicted to you. My conviction is this. I will love you forever. I will be with you forever. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, just the beginning of my journey doesn't wait to start when I leave this body. My journey began when I said yes to Jesus Christ. my eternal life with Him was set secure, can never be taken away. And He said, now, Larry, I will give you direction. What do I do with it? What do you think your teenagers are doing with the direction you gave them? I preached to you for 18 years, and here you go out and you do the dumbest stuff. I never did anything like that when I was your age. We start lying to them right off the bat. You know, good and well, yes, you did. That's called life. Now, I am charged by God to raise my children correctly. I'm called by God to tell my grandson what God says, thus saith the Lord thy God. I told it to my son. But now listen to me, people. Listen to me, parents. Your job as a parent is to raise them right. And when all hell hits them, they will sooner or later, normally later, realize and go back to what you taught them. I can't make my child or my grandchild do anything. I can't be with them all the time. But here's something that's such a blessing to us. Jesus said, I'll be with you all the time. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, I don't have to sweat that my God is not going to be there. He's there before I need Him, or before I think I need Him. That's why He stays with us, because we sure are a fickle bunch sometime, aren't we? Do you ever see yourself having a bad case of the stupids about every other day? And then sometimes you just decide to make a whole week of it. We're just going to go have the bad case of the stupids throughout a solid week. Sometimes that leads into months and years. But trust me. Trust God's word. They will come back to their raising. They will remember at some point, as the prodigal son did. Wait a minute. Why am I eating pig slop? My father takes care of all his workers better than this. I'll go back and I'll become one of his servants. At least to get to eat good. The father wouldn't hear of it. You're my son. I'm throwing you a banquet. Big party. A lot of eating. That's us. Well, how do I know that my Christian conviction is right? How do I know that I'm standing for what Christ stands for, wants me to stand for? First of all, when you're persecuted like Jesus was, listen to Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you. Do you hear that? Blessed are you. But gosh, I got a whole lot of blessings here. Blessed are you when? When people insult you. Whew. Brother Randy insulted me 3 times already this morning. All those 3 blessings. Let's get started out, Halo. That was my hair. People insult you. They persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He's a Christian. Destroy the character. But we haven't caught him in anything. It don't matter. Just make it up. People love believing bad things about other people. Boy, that's a fact, isn't it? I'm thankful I do not have a Twitter account. Don't even know how to get one. Don't want one. Because I'd be in trouble before nightfall. Speaking your mind. Rejoice and be glad. You hearing that, Randy? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you know that since the beginning of time, since the beginning of human sin, the prophets of God have been persecuted? The human race have wanted to say from the beginning, we don't need anyone. the Jewish nation committed such a grave sin. When? They were coming along doing just fine. They couldn't find one enemy that wouldn't be defeated. Everything's going great. And then the people got together and they decided to vote God out. Vote God out. That's happened a lot in churches. Vote Jesus out. Bring in the world and you can pack them. You can also pack the cemeteries the same way. You know what the problem was? The world in that generation had noticed something about the Jewish nation, the Hebrews. They had noticed they were different. And boy, were they ever. Instead of praising God for that difference, they grumbled. They complained. They complained against God's man. They complained against God's word. They complained against God's idea. And the scripture tells us that complaining is sin before God. And then, what do? They ask God to give them a king. They have not even lost a battle, people. They were winning. Continually. But they wanted a king. You know what God told them? When you get a king, he's going to make you pay taxes. You believe they didn't even pay taxes to God? You don't do that today either. Don't you dare give because you think you have to. You give because you want to, and it's from your heart. We want a king. And the reason was so we can be like the other nations. We don't want to stand out. Really? We don't want to seem different. Really? Well, Christian, listen to me. When you walk with Christ, you're different. When you walk with Christ and your convictions are Christ-centered convictions, you're going to stand out. You're going to be the odd man, the odd woman out. And they will say all manner of evil against you. The God said, okay, I'll give you your king. They got their king. And they've been in a mess ever since. I got one king. His name is Jesus. I bend my knee to one Lord. His name is Jesus. My conviction is to one Savior. His name is Jesus. And the grace that I have is a hallelujah grace. A grace direct from God. So you and I can walk in a vicious world. Hatred, bitterness everywhere. Now the world's not fair. Life's not fair. But let me tell you something, Christian. You have no right to contribute to its unfairness. Because it's not fair doesn't mean I'm not a winner. You know, when Brother Randy was talking about the Sunday school and us growing up in it, I didn't go to Sunday school growing up. In my time period, it was you go to church and you get saved. Once you get saved, that's good. You're going to heaven. Now shut up and get out there in the field. Kids are to be seen and not heard. Any of you remember those days? I did go to Sunday school down at Buffalo Baptist Church a couple of times. A Sunday school teacher told me I had a great voice for singing. She lied. She loved me, though. But then the other Sunday I went, the kids laughed at my singing. And I realized that. Big Bad John hadn't even been written yet. But I realized, I'm not fitting in here, am I? I had that feeling. Dirt poor, grass string holding up my brother's breeches that I was wearing, rolled up so thick, I just didn't fit in. But Jesus said I fit with him, his child. And he watched me grow up. I knew that. I never feared. You know, I can't remember a time that I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I remember when I went forward and accepted him openly, my personal Savior. But I can't remember when I didn't believe him. I knew he always had his hand on me. But it's not the situation in which you live. It's the love that surrounds you at the time you leave this body, or the world calls your death. I'm not dying. I'll leave this body. You all get used to me. I'm sticking with you from now on because I love you, but not as much as Jesus loves us. And he said, proof is in the walk. Well, Lord, I don't know, because, you know, I cannot get this Christian walk right. I just can't do it. I've been trying, okay, for one thing, how the Christian's supposed to act. You have no idea what God called me to do. So how can you tell me how I ought to act in the process of doing it? I have no idea what God's called you to do. But how do I know that you belong to the Lord? As soon as the world says they don't like you, I'm coming to talk to you because I love you. I know we're brothers. Do you ever hear of identical twins? Yeah, you have. We think that's really neat. I never dreamed I would be an identical twin, but I know that I am. I'm your twin brother. Your twin brother. You getting it? Identical twins. You see, through Christ, we have our identity. In Christ, we have our hope. And by the power of Christ, all hell will turn and run.
Amen.
But I got identical twins that are coming. Identical in Christ. Identical in love. Believe it or not, Jesus loves each one of us just like he loves the other. Identical. That conviction is Christ-focused conviction. You know, when you realize that you've got it, when you don't understand what you have, when you know that you believe and you know that Jesus loves you, but you cannot figure out to save your life, why? What have I ever done, Lord? You foolish Christian. It's never been about what you do. It's always been about what he does and has done. He ain't through with you yet. And that conviction, meaning I know when I do dumb things. Good gracious, folks. I know I'm about ready to do something dumb and end up doing it. And I'm your pastor. I'm not going to tell you different because you all know different. We just sometimes mess up. But Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He said it's proof when they don't like you because of me. A Christian over there, be careful because they'll start saying, Jesus. If they said Jesus, you know they're a little shaky. Well, folks, as Elvis said, I'm all shook up because I know Jesus and I refuse to deny his name. I refuse to deny who he is. I refuse to turn my back on his word. I refuse the way of the world to fill pews. If it's not by the word of Almighty God preached, then folks, what good is it? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What good is all of it? Oh yeah, but I can live good. You know the best life you'll ever have is a life of peace. A life of knowing that you've been forgiven. A life of understanding how bad those sins truly were and are. And Jesus forgave you anyway. Now you listen to me. Jesus forgives you anyway. When he says, I love you, he don't mess around. When he says, the peace that I want to give you is a peace that surpasses all understanding, then there is a power that awaits you. You think you can crawl out of the ditch of life? You don't have to. Jesus said he'll float you out. He'll pick you up. How many times do you think that you have been in the arms of Christ? How many times were you ready to give up? But my conviction, well, my conviction to Jesus, it's just not that strong. You're right. But your weaknesses do not control Christ's love for you. Your failures are not that of Christ. And Christ will not fail you. We need to get on the same page. After all, we're identical twins. Our identity is in the same name. We believe the same word. We've seen the same miracles. I want you to feel at peace, Jesus says. He didn't say anything about you having it easy in this world. He said, I want you to feel at peace as you go through it, as the world is getting ready to stone you to death. As Stephen, that martyr that was looking to heaven, and they're saying, shut him up. He keeps talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they start throwing their rocks. What does Stephen say? I see Jesus. And the scripture says they were gnawing their teeth. That's how much anger was in them over the name Jesus. Still there today, isn't it? That anger over the name of Jesus. Oh, you Christians think that you know everything. Nope. We just know Jesus. He's the one that knows everything. My Savior happens to know it all. Actually, He happened to have made it all. And because of that, yeah. Call me a cocky Christian if you want to. Because I know I'm saved. And I know whoever calls on the name of the Lord is saved. And I know that I don't care what the world says, they can't change that. So I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I have a peace and a joy in my heart. The cancer got a chance. The brokenness doesn't have a chance. But gosh, it hurts. It gets so painful. The pains of life throbbing around us. But there's no greater pain than you'll ever have. Cancer's nothing to me compared to the pain of thinking that I've hurt the feelings of Jesus. How can I hurt the feelings of the one who saved me, who knew I was going to do that dumb thing before I did it, and He saved me anyway? But Jesus looks at you and looks at me, and He says, welcome to peace, for I give it to you. Not as the world gives it to you. I give it to you. Gift from His Father. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy name, giving You thanks. Father, we don't understand so much that goes on, even to the point that we realize now we don't understand any of it. But we do know this. You are our Father. You are our Creator. You are the one who watches over us. You're the one who came down. And as Jesus, You empowered us through Your Holy Spirit to touch the lives of the world through Your Word, not our own. We ask now, Father, for the peace that only You give. Give us the courage to stand. Give us the boldness to speak Your Word to a lost and dying world. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.